It's podcast time on XFM. A week of shows and the best of them. We've dropped out all the boring bits, so now there's more of Danny. Breakfast XFM. It's Danny with Specs on XFM.
It's Danny.
It's Breakfast XFM.
It's Danny.
Yes, we are XFM.
Danny Wallace.
I recorded a gold bulletin yesterday and had the phone fader up all the way through it. That was like phone noise. Tone. Bass-like tone. Went out across the whole gold network.
No way.
Just one of many stories that won't be included on today's podcast. Welcome to podcast 37. On this podcast, Vic Reeves, Lee Mack will play Quenis and an incredible mystery guest. Give us another story, Matt.
Please, if bosses, if you are listening, that was just a joke. Didn't realise till afterwards, but it's too late then.
Here's the podcast.
Yes, we are XFM.
Danny Wallace.
Good morning, good morning. It is 2 minutes past seven. How are you, ladies? Ladles and jelly spoons, not my words, the opening joke in Matt Dyson's wedding speeches. You close with that joke as well.
Yeah.
You open with it, you sort of roll with the laughter for eight or nine minutes, yeah. And then boom, you hit him again
hit
with it.
Hit him with it at the end, after the toast, because they're like, you know.
It's the last thing they're expecting, isn't it?
Yeah, they're thinking, oh, you did mean to say it earlier.
Yeah, Martin, you said he said that.
Yeah, I thought you said ladies and gentlemen.
It sounds like he's drunk, doesn't it?
We are...
We are more than pleased to welcome a British institution to our studio. It's only Vic Reeves, everybody.
That's right.
Hi, Vic.
That's right. That's right.
That's right. That's the kind of self-belief you're going. You're like an American motivational speaker there.
Yeah. That's right, Danny. Got it.
Yeah.
Say more.
Okay. I'll leave it at that. Thank you so much for coming by today.
Thank you for inviting me to your...
house.
Is it a house?
It's my house.
Not a shed.
Not a shed. Straight in with the sheds.
Yeah,
I mean,
right in there.
It's an unusual pairing. Vic Reeves and sheds.
It's
and
not
yet,
actually.
It works. It's not. It's not.
Because I've got five sheds in the garden.
You've got five sheds?
Wow. Yeah.
There's too many sheds.
You can never have it enough sheds.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Why have you stopped at five?
I've not stopped yet.
You've not peaked yet. How many do you aim?
I've got spent plenty more time in my life to develop and design more sheds.
Good. So you develop and design them. Is there a theme running through these sheds?
No, it's basically outside rooms that you haven't got the inclination to use inside.
Right, yes.
That's my outlook on it. You know,
I've actually got
a bar.
Oh.
One of them's a bar.
That's good.
One of them's an art gallery. The other one's my art studio.
Right.
One of them is a children's playhouse.
Okay, good.
Does that count?
Sort of, yeah. It's more of a Wendy house, isn't
and
it?
And the other one is a greenhouse. Does that count?
Is it glass?
It's a shed with windows, I suppose, isn't it?
Okay, yeah, I suppose so.
So that makes five.
I love that. You're just building, you bought your house and then you've gone, oh, hang on, we haven't got an art gallery.
Well, that was an old shed that was in existence there. It had fallen down, so I just renovated it, painted it white.
Yeah.
And put paintings in it.
Very nice.
And what I'd like is a little railway track to take you from place to place around the garden. It'd stop every half a second.
Just very short distances between sheds. You got a lot of sheds. This is very much the year of the shed, Vic.
Yeah.
It's all happening shed-wise.
Well, I've just finished designing one.
Yeah.
Which is in Northumberland National Park.
Okay, good. And were you supposed to do this, or did you just? Are you just saying you dumped a shed?
I was hired by Cuprinol.
The
shed paint people.
Yes.
To design it.
Yeah.
So I made a mini British Museum, which is, you know, like for your own personal museum in your garden.
Yeah.
So all the artifacts from your life that are relevant to you.
Yeah.
You put in your own personal British museum.
That's great.
If you're not British, you know, whatever you want.
Yeah, if you're not, deal with it.
Yeah.
Jimmy Foreigner with your shed-based ways. There is a shed designed by Vic Reeves.
Yes.
In a national park.
In the wilds of the Northumberland National Park.
And can it be visited by anyone?
Yeah, it's near Hadrian's Wall.
Right, and is there security there, or is it?
It's
like
got top security, but they're quite nice and kind. If you catch them at the right moment, they'll let you in.
That's good. I want to go. Can we get someone to go? If you're listening anywhere near that exact specific location, please go along. Take your mobile with you and call us this morning as you investigate.
I'm currently developing a flying shed, which we could fly to the park in.
Yeah. When you say currently, you mean right now?
Well, I've done some sketches on the back of on the back of something, a shoebox actually, but
good. Miniature shed.
I just explain it, you know. I feel like I've not quite explained this flying shed thing.
Okay.
It's a shed.
Yeah.
And what I've done, I presume jumbo jets get, like, you know, put out to pasture after a while.
Yes, they do.
So what you do is you get the wings, sellotape them onto the shed, and then that should be about it.
I think that's about
it.
If the wind catches it,
shouldn't that work?
It'll be off, absolutely. XFM. One of the world's greatest comedians, Arnold Schwarzenegger, has confirmed. Now, out of all the films that he's done, Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
What do you think he's most excited about a potential sequel to? He's done a few sequels for...
He's done a few for Terminator, hasn't he?
Terminator.
But I could see him getting excited about that again.
Yes.
Maybe True Lies too.
Oh, that
would be...
Two
Lies.
Two Lies.
There you go, we're writing it.
You're wasted here. Well, there is another one in the pipeline, another Schwarzenegger sequel. He's spoken about it and he said, I would love to do another Twins. Now, you remember Twins?
I do remember Twins.
I know someone who cried at Twins. He cried at Twins. When Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito meet their biological mother, right. He was in floods of tears, this guy. So he wants another Twins, and he says, as a matter of fact, we've been talking about doing one. Now, guess what it's called?
Twins 2.
That would be better.
Yeah.
Triplets.
Well, that doesn't work.
Well, yes, it does, because there'd be three of them.
Oh, there's going to be a third.
Well, yeah, it'd be twins and then another one.
Brilliant.
So they call it triplets. And he says, I would find someone like Eddie Murphy. Someone that people would say, how does that happen, medically speaking? And physically, there's no way. Then, and this is the clever bit, then, somehow, we would explain it. So that's how, that's as far as he's got with the plot.
There's the curveball.
Yeah, we would explain it. Well, there you go. And then he says, that would be hilarious. I can see a poster, a billboard with us three. They found another one, triplets. I would do that in 2 seconds because that is real entertainment. The words of Schwarzenegger. I love that. He's not really thought the plot through. He's not thought anything. He's just thought, let's just me, DeVito, Eddie Murphy.
Yeah.
We'll explain it somehow. That's entertainment, guys.
I think we should get more trains of thoughts from these people that are writing various films because it really adds to the interest element, doesn't it?
It really does.
It came about and where it's going to go.
Yeah, what made you, how did you come up with it? I don't know. We just thought we'll explain it. He's just going to ad lib his way through the film. It's going to be amazing. Kindergarten Cop, that's what you should do next. Kindergarten Cop, but set in an old people's home.
Oh, yes, well, that would work.
That would work terrifically. Mm-hmm. They'd explain it somehow. It'd be fine. We
are XFM. Man United may have let Man City back into the Premier League title race. The gap between the two sides at the top of the table is now down to 5 points after a shock defeat for Sir Alex Ferguson's side. He's not having any of it, though, saying the Latics scored from a corner which shouldn't have been given due to something he's calling a bye kick.
Well, it was a bye kick. Squarely a bye kick. But I thought Phil did a disappointing game tonight, and I don't think he ever got to grips with it, really. But that doesn't deter away from the fact that Wigan were the better team and deserved to win.
Don't know what bye kick means.
It's a bye kick. It's clearly a bye kick.
It's the sort of thing you'd use. The sort of terminology you'd use with football.
It's a bye kick. It's a kick with two legs, isn't it? A bye kick.
A bye kick.
It's a bye kick.
I think he means corner.
What was a bye kick? Squarely a bye kick.
It's a bye kick.
It's a bye kick.
It's a bye kick. It's a bye kick.
Don't worry about it.
Already a complaint. Wave Machine has tweeted in just to say a bye kick is what us Scots say for goal kick. Hold back on the abuse, lads. But he tempers it with a little ha-ha at the end to show... no hard feelings.
They do have their own football terminology up there.
They, up there.
I've just made it
they,
worse.
They, up there.
I've just made it worse.
As a proud Scot, as a Dundonian, I take issue with this. They, up there. Oh yeah, they do that, don't they, up there. It's just one thing, it's just a bye
that.
Kick.
It's just good, you know, it's great.
You're digging a big hole. Not that there's anything wrong with that. Why would there be? What's wrong with you?
XFM.
Our guest this morning. The marvellous Vic Reeves. Man, we talked about a lot of stuff while we're listening to Black Keys and Shed 7. We talked about...
Birthday presents.
Birthday presents, the fight against international terrorism.
Your 21st birthday present.
That's right, yeah. My coming-of-age birthday present, you know, because we're talking about what a great gift a shed would make for a young man.
For 21st. I think it is a very good, you know, with your name emblazoned on it.
Trying to make his way
so
in the world.
So what did you get, Danny?
I got a dressing gown and a Mr. Bean video. You know, that's not bad, is it? You know, that's what you get in America. They give you a car or something, don't they? There you go, a dressing gown.
What did you get for your 18th? A voucher?
I think, in all honesty, I got a griddle.
Did you really?
A griddle. And once, I think about 16, I got a hand puppet. Which is too old.
What, a hand pump?
Hand puppet. Hand puppet. But each of the fingers was a different funny character. So perfect for a 16-year-old lad. You know,
I think a hand pump would have been better.
Hand pump. Well, you know what I got for Christmas a couple of years ago?
A hand pump.
No. I can't. And my mum had given me a clue as to what it might be, Vic.
Can I guess?
Yeah, please guess.
How many guesses do I get?
You get three guesses.
Blow lamp.
No, but you're not far off.
A pedestal.
No, not a pedestal.
A rumbaba.
No, I'm...
Oh, I'm blown me three. I remain
rumbaba free.
One of them would have hit the mark.
Yeah, well, I'll give you the clue that this is when I first suspected what it might be.
Yeah.
She asked me out of the blue whether I had any favourite types of fire extinguisher.
So, and this is what you got. So
yeah, I got a fire extinguisher.
You got one?
Yeah, I got a little fire extinguisher suitable for liquid fires.
Foam.
I've never used it. I think it's that...
Because the fire different thing. One fire's water, right?
Yes.
One fire's paper.
Paper. Yeah, that's it. There's famous paper fires. What would happen in a shed-based situation? I say this mainly because I sense the people from Cupranol going, can we move this back to sheds, please?
Yeah, fire extinguisher. What sort of fire extinguisher? Well, you are the expert.
I suppose between us, we have our expertise, don't we? Mine very much fire extinguisher, the extinguishing of fires, and yours very much the shed world.
If you had a shed fire, there's very little you can do.
Is that right? Just stand back. That shed's gone.
Yeah. Well, yes.
But is there a fire exit in a shed?
Yes, yeah, called the door.
Fair enough. All the hints and tips right here. On this programme, on this very important broadcast, Vic, in the past we have covered in some detail Fence Factor, which is the search of Britain's best fence.
Yeah.
At the moment, it's the 2012 Shed of the Year competition that everyone's talking about. This is very much like The Voice versus Britain's Got Talent. You're very much in the shed camp.
Yeah.
How is it better than the search of Britain's best fence, or do you think there will come a time where both competitions or contests can work together?
Well, sheds and fences can be combined and have been for centuries. So, yeah. Have you got the best? So what qualifications do you need to have the best fence?
Well, last year's winner of Fence Factor incorporated a glazed window within the body of the fence so that the owner could sit there and look through the fence at a view that ordinarily would be blocked by the fence.
Which is quite often what you see around building sites.
Yes.
People can look through the hole and then write their letters of complaint.
Yeah. He got his inspiration from there, and it was enough to win him Fence
Do you know, shall I tell you a fence story?
Love to hear a fence story.
Joe Longthorne, the chicken in the basket style
singer. I love it already, yeah.
He went on tour once and allowed his uncle, this is a story, this is about third hand, he allowed his uncle to put up a fence around his large property in a very posh area of Richmond, let's say.
Yeah.
Came back from tour and his uncle had got hundreds, thousands maybe, of doors and built them all around the property. So it was a huge fence made of doors.
A door fence?
Yeah.
What? Why? So just so that John Longthorne could never get into his house again?
That was what he thought would make a good fence.
Well, an enormous, now, entirely door-based fence.
I don't know how much truth there is behind this, but I'm getting right behind it. I'd like to know.
Yeah, good. 83936, if you're Joe Longthorne and you're listening, please let us know whether that is that's true. It's very unlikely, very specific text. Thank you so much, Vic, for joining us today. The hunt for the 2012 Shed of the Year continues. How can people find out about this lady from Cupranol?
By visiting
the Cupranol website.
Visit that. You're probably going there anyway to check up on the new Garden Shades range, including, of course, seagrass. Vic, thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks
today.
For all your help, Danny.
XFM. There's a new restaurant opening. A British chef, right? He's worked with some of the top restaurants in the world. He's 30, and he's opening a restaurant called Bubble Dogs. Now, what do you think they sell at Bubble Dogs?
Bubble Dogs.
They sell two things at Bubble Dogs.
Bubble gum.
This is why you're not making billions of dollars.
Dog-flavoured bubblegum.
What the hell?
Do you think a British chef at the top of his game is launching a new restaurant selling dog-flavoured bubblegum?
It's like the sort of thing Heston would do.
It is. No, hot dogs and champagne.
Oh.
The two things. If you're wandering around London and you fancy, you have a craving for either hot dogs or champagne, You're gonna go to Bubble Dogs.
Nice, yeah.
It's quite a niche market, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, is it a first date thing? I guess you've sort of got the glamour of champagne, haven't you?
Yeah.
While the earthy charm of hot dogs is only a moment away. Isn't it? You can show a girl, you know, your sort of fancy side, while at the same time going, hey, I'm just a normal guy.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, man of the people, hot dog.
Sit Bubble Dogs. Yeah. I know how to live, but I know what I like. It's the twin things. Girls love that. The confident move, don't they?
Yeah, that's
this
good.
Is a hot date venue, Bubble Dogs. If it ever happens, who knows? I think it's just an idea at this stage. It's not even advertising because it doesn't exist yet. It's absolutely fine.
We are the greatest goddamn radio station on the planet. XFM.
I had a leaflet put through my door recently for a curry house in North London. And on it, have you seen it? Have you seen that one?
Yeah, I've got this one.
The Red Rose Tandoori. And on it is a picture of the darkness.
Are they still doing that?
Yeah. And it says, as recommended by the darkness. And the darkness just happened to go to this curry house one night. I'm not sure it was all the darkness. I think it was Justin and the bloke who plays keys who'd all brought a keyboard with him. So you've got the manager of the Red Rose Tandoori and two members of the darkness. And you're supposed to look at this and go, I think I'm going to go for this place. I think this place has got it all, as far as I'm concerned.
We are XFM.
So, Matt, shall we do this? Shall we do Guess Who?
Yes.
Let's have the appropriate music, please. Guess Who? Always worth it, always worth it. So this is the regular feature where Dave, producer Dave, lines up someone for us to talk to. The twist being we don't know who this is going to be, Matt. All we know is it's someone we have talked about or has been mentioned or perhaps is in a news story, something that's happened on the show this week. What have we talked about, Matt? We talked about
the Olympic opening ceremony.
The Olympic opening ceremony. That happened, didn't it? There was something about a tortoise. I doubt it's a tortoise. Let's do it. All right, so Dave, you're quite pleased with this one. You seem very over the moon with it.
I'm very pleased with this one. I should point out it could go as far back as something we talked about last week as well.
Last week as well. All right, there's plenty of stuff. Okay, fair enough. All right, well, if you're ready, then we have 60 seconds to guess who the caller is from now. Caller, are you there?
Yes, I am.
All right, it's not unusual. At first,
it's... Thank you for having me. I love your show. You're so darling.
It sounds like Dame Edna or something. Are you from the British Isles, sir or madam?
No.
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 No, okay.
Not at all.
This is very unusual. Are you involved in a news story?
Always.
Always involved in a news story. Are you a celebrity?
Sort of.
Are you in the UK?
10 seconds.
Now I am.
Are you in the UK? Oh, now I am. It sounds like Miss Piggy or something. Are you a Muppet of some description?
No, I'm not.
Oh. That's the real voice coming through there. I feel like I want to keep guessing. Can you describe what you had for your breakfast this morning?
Granola.
I know who that is. No, I know who that is from the voice. I don't want to say it just in case it isn't. I'll ask. Are you ever fascinated by the weather in certain American cities, for example, Philadelphia?
That's right.
It's Danny DeVito.
Yes,
it is. Is it? Is it Danny DeVito? Danny DeVito, for goodness sakes, what on earth are you doing on this program?
Beats me, pal.
Danny DeVito, my lord. Now, we were talking about you just the other... Of course. This was to do with the story that there may well be a sequel to the classic 1988, if I'm not mistaken, twins, Danny DeVito.
That's right. That's right.
Oh,
and right. Arnold and I are talking about it with Eddie Murphy.
No way. Now, this is an extraordinary development. I remember reading the story. Arnold said exactly what you've just said, that perhaps Eddie could be the third in what would now become a triplet.
Triplets.
And that somehow you'd come up with some way of explaining Eddie Murphy's inclusion in your already slightly odd family. How far have you got with this?
Well, we've just been talking about it now. We know that we want to do it within the next year. We're busy right now. I'm here in London doing my play.
Of course you
are. I'm doing the Sunshine Boys at the Savoy with Richard Griffiths. And it's very exciting. And then I go back to Sunny. It's Always Sunny. Yes. Starts in July. And then we'll talk about it right after that.
Amazing. What a great thing. So you've got the play now, the Sunshine Boys. I've just been handed a piece of paper. Excellent work, producer Dave. The Sunshine Boys, which is playing at which theatre again? The Savoy?
The Savoy. We're starting in 2 weeks.
Amazing. You and Richard Griffiths. I mean, that's...
He's a really great guy to work with. I've been loving it.
Absolutely. And then the new series of Always Sunny in Philadelphia, which is... Congratulations on your work on that. It's terrific.
Thank you. Thank
it's
you.
Just hilarious. And then hopefully triplets.
That would be nice.
And how is Arnold these days? How often do you guys talk?
We had dinner a couple times just before I came out to London. He's doing well.
Yes.
And he got rid of the governorship, which I think was a good idea.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, that's fair enough.
Yeah, because, you know, please... What is he doing over there? Like a politician.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Are you tempted to run for a similar post?
No. No, I don't. I'm not running for office.
Oh, come on. DeVito for governor, there. Everybody.
Yeah.
DeVito
no,
for governor.
No. No, darling. No, I would never run for governor.
Yeah, there's the acting.
We are
XFM.
Shall we look at the papers? Shall we look at the papers? Remember yesterday I told you about this new restaurant that's opening called Bubble Dog, which serves only champagne and hot dogs?
Yeah.
Well, it seems like this is the year of the hot dog.
Mm.
I don't know what's happening. It must be Chinese Year of the Pig or something, because everyone's talking about pork. Mm. A well-known brand of high street pizza chain. They are launching a new pizza with a stuffed crust. Okay. Normally what do you get in there? You get cheese, maybe some peppers, jalapeno, something like that. Well, they're whacking an entire hot dog in there. It should be a massive long hot dog going all the way around the inside of a crust.
Oh, sounds good, doesn't it?
Does sound pretty good. They're saying that, you know, we've got a proud sort of history of innovation and innovative dishes to enjoy on a night in with friends. So they've been quite specific. You can't enjoy this on a night out.
No.
This must only be enjoyed in the privacy
alone,
of your own home.
Or comfort eating on your own. You can't do that either.
Jeez. What dark, dark images you brought to the table. Poor Matt. I mean, I'm talking about, hey, everyone, you can eat your pizza with your pals, yeah, on your own. In the midst of a bleak depression. But it's not just that, okay? You're aware of other bacon products. There's
right.
Bacon A's. Have you heard of that? It's mayonnaise with a bacon twist.
Yes, yeah.
There's, what else is there? There's bacon salt.
Mm.
It's just kind of salt with bits of sort of bacon-y stuff inside it. There's bacon vodka. There's bacon chocolate. There's bacon toothpaste as well. Have you seen that? Bacon toothpaste. They sell it in some strange places. But there's a couple of lads called Justin and Dave in America. And they invented bacon A's and bacon salt. And they love bacon. They're trying to bring bacon, really sort of push the boundaries. So much so that a TV company has gone, we need to document this. We need to create a reality television program about you and your bacon-based products taking over the world. So they're going for it, okay? But the problem is, they've got all these things, bacon salt. There's no pun there, is that's rubbish. Bacon A's, again, just the shortening. It's just not very good. So I don't trust them to come up with a half-decent title for this reality TV show. Mm. They've got to come up with something. So... that's our text this morning, 83936. What should they call this programme all about bacon and bacon products? You've got loads of stuff to work with there. What would you call it, Dave?
So it's a reality TV show.
Reality TV show, like The Simple Life or something.
Okay.
One of those things.
Well, this is quite simple in itself as well. What about Pig Brother?
Oh, reality.
Hey.
That's nice.
Pig
Brother.
Down. It's good.
Oh, sorry.
That's, if Justin and Dave were only brothers, that would work even better.
Yeah.
I've got... Jersey ball. You know, it's one of those things.
Oh,
sort
nice.
Of works, isn't it? Snout to worry about. It doesn't really work. It's just a clever way of saying snout. But because they're, you know, it's all business-based, isn't it? Rasher decisions.
Oh.
Nice.
Oh, you don't look very impressed there,
no, that's all right, but I also had, like, a business-based one. What about money porks instead of money
talks? Oh, like money talks. Money porks. That's very good. Poor Matt's just sitting there now. They're all gone. He just looks very blank.
They've all gone. I've just got pancetta written down in front of me. There's nothing there. I've got nothing.
Oh, well, I'm glad we ended on that one, Matt. We are. We're delighted to welcome another top guest, Matt Dyson.
Yes.
Scribe the man to your immediate left.
He is here. Summer has come early. He's in a short sleeve black
yes.
shirt. With a bit more facial hair than I've seen him when I've seen
than
him on TV.
You might be used to, yes.
Than you may be used to.
Than you might be used to.
Yes.
He's clutching all the awards he's ever won. He's beginning to speak. He started that sentence.
I didn't know what the etiquette was on the show. I didn't know if I can come in mid intro or you have to wait and you'd say something. Then you'd play a jingle, like an applause jingle. And then I'd. How does it work?
Shush your lips out. Right. It's Lee Mack, everybody! Hi, Lee!
Hooray!
We'll play the applause jingle there. That's what we'll do.
How are you?
I'm all right. Can I just point out yes. that I'm not actually carrying my awards. I know most people would know you were joking,
yeah.
but there will be a very small element going, that's a little bit sad, isn't it? Because, as you know, Danny, I wouldn't be able to carry all my awards.
Oh, look at that. Yeah, it went from modesty to boastfulness. Yes. One tiny little leap.
One leap.
How are you? How's life? How is it being Lee Mack?
It's all right. I've just had a baby. Well, I say just, about 5 months ago.
Wow.
That's the facial hair situation.
Yeah,
I mean, as in, that's why my baby hasn't got facial hair. That's why I've not shaved.
Because,
you know, when I'm not writing comedy, I'm looking after my little baby.
Oh.
As my wife listens in and says, is that right? That's not the way I remember it.
Yeah. Never shave a baby either.
It's number one, isn't it? Number one rule in the book. Never shave a baby.
Yeah, in Lee Mack's
book,
every
baby becomes a human. That becomes a human. They are humans. Every baby becomes a human.
That's the worst bumper sticker ever.
That's not what you...
Remember,
that's not what you
want to
hear.
Becomes a human.
That's not what you want to hear the midwife say, is it? Don't worry, every baby becomes a human. I meant to say every baby becomes an adult and then they have to start shaving. So where's the line where you can start shaving a baby?
Yes.
Aren't we all just big babies be shaving ourselves?
You're like a preacher, all the wisdom you're coming out with today. Yeah. It's extraordinary.
I'm like a light entertainment version of Grasshopper.
How old
the kids.
How old is your baby and have you started
four
shaving?
Four and a half months, about 4.5 months. I haven't started shaving you at all.
Yeah, is this your first?
Yeah.
Are you coping?
It's not too bad, actually. Yeah.
Oh, good,
it's great.
Good.
It's the gift that keeps on giving.
Is it?
I love it.
With your stubbly face, I'm not being rude, you look like you're not coping.
It's a bit unkempt.
You look like you're struggling with that. Yeah. You look like you're not sleeping, you look like you're breastfeeding.
Oh, man. It's the full-on lady look you've got going.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were going to say something.
I wasn't.
We'll edit this awkward bit out
keep
by me
in,
saying...
Keep them in, always keep your awkward silence.
Well, we started playing chicken for a while, didn't we?
Yeah.
See how long we could leave the pause before one of us lost on Earth in the
or
emergency.
Or before, the emergency tape kicked.
Bosses in. Didn't take to it, Lee.
No, I'm a big fan of the long pause. Let's try one now, see if it works. I'd say that's your limit.
I'm not going to sell it.
I panicked. I thought, this is bad.
Not going out is what we're here to talk about.
We're here to chat about our babies. But right, now you mentioned it.
It just swung by.
Let's forget the babies. Let's talk about 9:30 on Friday night.
9:30 this Friday night, the brand new series of Not Going Out.
Correct.
Series five. That's a lot of series.
It's a lot of episodes, I'm tired now.
You should be. You should be exhausted.
And I'm actually writing series six, so you can imagine I'm looking out the window now, and if a pigeon lands on the windowsill, I go, there's an idea for an episode. Pigeon lands on windowsill.
Yeah. What is your writing process?
Well, I get up very early. I'm up before the kids. That's how early I'm up.
That is early.
I genuinely get up. I've been known to get up at 5:30.
Really?
But not because I'm setting the alarm. I'm not that mad.
No.
I just naturally wake up at 5:30 or 6:00. I sort of wake up, bolt upright, with a sort of screaming in my head. Get it done! And then I get out of bed and I run upstairs.
A joyful life of a comedian.
Yeah, it's very calm. In the old days, I didn't get up till midday. Now, midday's finished at 10:30, 11:00, but it's starting at 5:30. Don't get me wrong, I'm not finishing at 10:30, 11:00. I'm finishing writing.
Yes.
Then there's radiators to buy. That's what I'm doing at the moment.
Is that right?
I've got to do all the admin then.
Wow.
That comes with running a house, like buying a radiator, trying to buy a freestanding bath.
Oh,
God.
That's not easy buying a freestanding. And the problem is you don't want to
fancy.
You do not.
Your life's changed since I first met you. Freestanding bath.
bath.
What's the point about freestanding bath? Freestanding bath is a bath but with full feet on.
Freestanding bath implies spaciousness, luxury.
Yeah, oh, hang on, I misunderstood that. I thought it was a standing bath and it was free. Am I going to pay for this?
Yeah, you do. Yeah.
Oh, it's not a free standing bath.
No, nothing like that.
Okay. I'm full of northern guilt and will deny any idea that I've got any money. I can't even afford a bath. I wash for the...
That's not splashing out on radiators.
Not a freestanding bath, a flannel. I'm buying a flannel.
Because there's going to be a TV show, reality TV show, about a couple of lads involved in the bacon industry. And they haven't got a decent title. The best Matt's come up with is Pancetta.
Now, I think we should call this feature Punchetta, though.
Yes, yeah. Well, you've come up with a pun to describe the feature, but not something useful.
Well, luckily, the listener... are doing a lot better than me this morning.
I'm glad you mentioned there's more than one listener. That'll be a very dark secret. If this whole radio thing turns out to be an elaborate practical joke on me, Noel Edmund walks in at the end of a year just kind of going, got ya, huh? How about that? That would be
great. I'd watch that show.
XFM. With us this morning, the marvellous Lee Mack. And Line 30 this Friday, the fifth series of Not Going Out starts.
That's right,
Didn't Not Going Out nearly not happen again?
It did. It got officially cancelled.
It was decommissioned.
Series 3. Is it decommissioned?
No, I guess it just wasn't commissioned
again. It wasn't decommissioned. It wasn't like I wasn't stood down like in the army. You've been commissioned, now you've been decommissioned.
Yeah, we've watched the DVD.
We just weren't recommissioned. That's the same thing.
How much do you have felt then? Because
I make this clear. What didn't happen was we weren't stopped mid-run.
No, that has happened before.
I've known that. I've known a show. Someone told me a show where the warm-up man was about to record the show, and he was going, "Let's have a get ready, big round of applause." And oh, hang on a minute! Someone came on, whispered to me, "Forget it. Show's been cancelled." And they all went, "Oh,
no way!"
Someone just said, "Stop now. We're stopping it instantly. You don't even have to record tonight."
Wow, you feel bad as the warm-up man as well. You feel somehow to blame.
You feel bad as the actor in your chicken costume about to walk on. And you go home on the bus and it's all over.
So that didn't happen to you. All that happened was they went, "We've done three series. It's done its course." And it clearly hadn't.
Well, we were lucky because we got a lot of people, complaining and stuff, which is good. And it was mentioned on Points of View. I mean, admittedly, it was mentioned on Points of View by Jeremy Vine, who's Tim Vine's brother, and Tim's in the show. Still a complaint.
Yeah, no one's saying
still
that.
Still an official complaint. and then my auntie recommissioned it, who's the head of BBC. No, we got a few people complaining they've been cancelled, and they were great because it takes a lot to change their mind, doesn't it? If you've cancelled a show, then you have to say, all right, we've
got
to
back down.
So they did that, which was great. And the same person who cancelled it brought it back. So no complaints from me. Well, not now, anyway. Could have heard what I was saying in the year between.
I bet. What a great thing. Because it must have been upsetting because, even it's series three, there's so much more potential there and different storylines, different characters. It's all set up. People are familiar with it. It's great to have.
Yeah, it was very odd. The first two series, it was sort of ignored. I could walk down the street and no one would say, "I like that sitcom." It felt ignored a bit, which was hard because I'd worked really hard on it.
Sure.
And then suddenly in the third series, me and my wife went out to the aquarium with the kids. Uh-huh. And I point out that's the London aquarium. We haven't got an aquarium in our garden. We're not getting a freestanding bath. We haven't got an aquarium in our garden. So we went to the London aquarium and it was the oddest day because we hadn't been out for a few weeks and suddenly everyone was coming up to me like, "I love that sitcom." And there was like a shift change in people suddenly felt they liked it and they wanted to say it. So I felt the difference in series three. But that was the one that got cancelled. Yeah. So I sort of would have understood it if it had been the first two, but the third one was a bit confused.
The groundswell had started, the tipping point.
Yeah.
But now, you're already writing series six.
Now we're writing series six. So it's odd. Now we're almost written as many after the cancellation as before. So,
absolutely.
Because we're on the sixth series. It's odd, but it's great to be still doing it. But it is, it's a long, old year to do a sitcom. So the advantages of getting cancelled was I then went back on tour.
Of course.
2 years touring.
Yeah.
And actually, it was great.
Absolutely. Are you doing it? Because I've watched you for years and years, and Edinburgh's gone, and all around the country doing it.
You gave us our first ever review.
Danny was it gave your first ever review?
Well, I think it was our first. I did an Edinburgh show in 1995, and Danny used to work. What did you work for? Was it The List?
I think it was that year was The List I did some stuff for. Yeah.
5-star review.
It was a great show.
It was only years later that Danny told me it was out of 100.
We are the greatest goddamn radio station on the planet.
XFM. I just wanted to talk very briefly, Matthew, about something quite cool. There's a scheme, Reading Champions, okay? Right. Gets kids reading stuff. Now, I'm no reading snob, right? I think reading anything is a good thing. I grew up on comics, like the Beano, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, when little kids ask me,
what books I used to read as a kid. I started with the Beano, and it taught me loads about things. And they've got these schemes these days called Reading Champions, right, where schools choose a reading champion.
Mm-hmm.
And it's to get kids excited about reading books, essentially, you know. Light the fire, that sort of thing.
Right.
But I think sometimes they choose perhaps the wrong people. And there's a school in Aberdeenshire, and they chose a gentleman named Darren Mackey. Are you familiar with Darren Mackey's work?
I've never heard of him.
Well, right. He's a Scottish footballer. He's a striker. He plays for Aberdeen.
Oh, does he? Yeah.
He does. Now, I don't think he's the best reading champion they could have got, right?
No.
Only because I've read the questionnaire that they've given to him to kind of get kids excited, right?
Yeah.
So there are moments here where I think, you know, alarm bells will kind of sound. There are moments where I think he gets into a little bit of trouble. I'll highlight those moments for you in case it's not clear. So the first question to Darren Mackey, the reading champion. Tell us about your favourite books. His answer, I don't read books. That's the first thing to watch out for. That's the first thing to read. I don't read books. Straight in, right? First four words.
I don't read books.
But I read a lot of magazines about cars.
Oh.
So, you know, that's a reading champion. Okay,
wow,
so that's not too bad, right? So they press on. What type of books do you read? And he says, if I did read books, it would be autobiographies. Because I enjoy finding out about things that have happened in other people's lives. But not enough to read an autobiography.
Oh, yeah.
That's worrying. That deserves an uh-oh. What's your favourite book? My favourite book is Lord of the Rings. Although, I haven't read the book. I have watched the films.
Oh, well.
The book must be good, because the films are good. Alarm bells are happening at that moment.
Wow.
In the school. Alarm. They must be going, I don't think this reading champion is the correct reading champion. Who's your favourite author? J.R.R. Tolkien. Because he wrote the best story ever told, The Lord of the Rings. And finally, why are you a reading champion? And I think they probably phrased it like this. Why are you a reading champion? And he says, I think I'm a reading champion because I enjoy the fact you learn things from reading. Wow.
Sure.
Well, look, if it gets people reading, I think this is a good thing.
Yeah.
Sure. Even just a car magazine.
Someone else in Aberdeen could have done it. Anyone else
in Aberdeen could have done that.
We are
XFM.
Confirm, listener. Liam, are you there?
Yes.
Yes, just a straight yes. You sound nervous. You sound on the edge, Liam.
Yeah, I am a bit.
Well, don't worry. You should know the rules by now, of course. Do you?
Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah. Yeah, he's all over this. He's all over this shizzle. Right then, Liam, if you're ready, let's get quizzical.
20.
That's right, Liam. It's back. Quennis. It's a mixture of quiz and tennis. Quennis. Was going to set this one at Wimbledon, couldn't think of a good name. So, it's the same setup as Qualiball and Quinquong. You are Minty Clitheroe, as always a much underrated Ukrainian professional. Mocked in your own land, but finally making waves on the world stage. Liam, I'm going to ask you to choose a ball. Do you want ball one, ball two, or ball three?
Ball two.
Ball two, new balls, please.
New balls.
Ball two. The ball is a standard inflated felt-covered rubber ball of 2.7 inches or there or thereabouts in diameter. Your job, Liam, will be to hit the ball more times than me while keeping it within the restrictions of the tennis ball court. Is that absolutely clear, Liam? Be clear there.
Yeah.
Okay, then let's go. We'll start with me. It's my serve. Okay, Liam, do you want to volley or return?
Return.
Nice return. I choose to volley. Volley or return, Liam?
Return.
Nice return. It's in. I choose to volley. Volley or return, Liam?
Volley.
Nice volley. I choose to volley.
Oh!
Can't be serious. Liam, it's your serve, of course. Serve simply by saying serve.
Serve.
Oh, you've hit a Chinese spectator.
Ow. Okay. Now that means if I turn to page 11. Okay, because we're playing serve or volley, that means your subject is serving vol-au-vents. Now, a canapé is a small, prepared, usually decorative food held in the fingers, often eaten in one bite, Liam. But in what year was the very first... Oh. Liam, a pigeon's just landed on the court. I've never seen the like. Oh, now Cliff Richard's turned up, Liam, and he's brought a small broom with him. He's shooing the pigeon away, Liam. He's shooing that pigeon. Honestly, you've never seen anything as silly as this. Anyway, we'll crack on. Oh, Jesus. Cliff's beating the pigeon to death. The broom. There are people being sick everywhere, Liam. The same thing happened during Quing Quong with that panda. Why does he do... Liam, there's only one way to stop him. You need to do something. Something worthy of a song. Something that'll distract him. Liam, can you complete the sentence? Loud and proud, please. We are...
XFM.
Congratulations! You distracted Sir Cliff Richard as he beat a pigeon to death with a broom. People were being sick everywhere, Liam.
XFM.
And we're asking you this morning, and we've been asking you, to come up with a decent title, a half-decent title, for this bacon-based reality TV show that is about to light up screens globally. If only they can come up with the right title. About two lads launching a bacon business. And you come up with some good ones. Gareth says this. How about this one, Matt? Mm. Cowboy Squealers. Are you all right, Matt?
All right, yes.
Yeah. Is something going on? Drop the music. Do you want to talk about this? Do you want to talk about this?
Fine.
What's happening?
I'm fine. Can you say that again, though?
Well, no. What's happening?
Nothing.
Let's talk about this instead. We've got this whole texter. We've got hundreds and hundreds of entries. No. Lots of people. And you're like, you're casting aspersions as to the veracity of certain Scottish footballing terms. The best pun you could come up with wasn't even a pun. It was just a word. Pancetta. Now you're just staring at the floor. You've got your coffee. You're acting quite defensive. What's going on with
you? I didn't have a good sleep last night. I mean, that may be...
You're not kidding.
Yeah.
It's pretty music back up. What about red or black pudding, says Sasha in Hertfordshire. Oh, look, Matt's back, everyone. The Apprentice, you're fried.
Brilliant.
Yeah, very good. Rasher Decisions, we had that one, but... Gammon of Thrones, topical. What you got?
Sam in Putney.
Yeah.
Fabulous Bacon Boys.
Oh, very good.
Of course, Pork Life. Lee on the 18th.
Pork Life?
Yeah.
That's good.
Hot to Trot from Nick. The Hairy Bangers.
That's good. Hairy bangers. Jack in Barking says, what about Last of the Summer Swine?
Nice.
Very good. I was a bit worried when Joe from Dartford got involved. As we know, he can be quite blunt in his text. Yeah. I'd say 98% of his texts are not fit for broadcast. It's merely him just texting us with his opinions. But we have got one from Joe from Dartford.
Yes.
Let's all cross our fingers. What is your pun?
The bacon wax.
Not really a pun. Right. More just some abuse aimed at these men. But well done, Joe. What else you got, Matt?
Gareth from Wes's phone.
Yeah.
Ice Road Trotters.
Okay. Yeah. Very nice. What about Dragon's Pig Pen?
Very nice.
Squeal or no squeal? That's good. I'll be back. Brackets, bacon, close brackets. A lot of people just saying, making bacon. That's very good. Hogwarts and all. Very nice. And what about you, Ben from Beckenham?
What about Come Swine With Me?
Come Yay! Swine With Me!
We are the greatest goddamn radio station on the planet. XFM.
Quiz Face.
Hello, viewers. I'm confirmed listener Liam, and I just stopped Sir Cliff Richard from beating a fictional pigeon to death with a broom. Someone had to eat Constantine Kalumpi. Thank you, Danny Wallace, for all you do for us. The humble and grateful listener. You even write these bits. Love you, Hunky.
We are
XFL! Just a strange story, Matthew.
Mm-hmm.
You know where everyone was trying to get these two pandas? Just knuckle down and get on with it, you know? Just crack on. Come on. And it didn't work out.
Mm.
And we were trying to come up with appropriate tracks to
you know, to play to a panda on their first date, to allow them to get to know each other a little bit. And we were joking, right? We were just mucking about. But a study by German scientists has discovered that playing certain music to sharks gets them in the mood for mating. Now, who'd have thought it? Who'd have thought it? Five sea life aquariums in Germany took part in a project to try and encourage their sharks to mate after there was a worrying reduction, essentially, in the number of shark offspring. What do you reckon sharks are into musically?
Well, some Barry White, I'd imagine, you know.
Some Barry White? Mood. Well, I'll tell you what, that's weird, because next this is a story about flamingos, and they do use Barry White in East Sussex and Marvin Gaye. But, you know, that's flamingos. We're talking about sharks.
Okay, right.
Well, the top five songs to put sharks in a romantic mood. And if you're listening, you might want to make notes in case you ever are in the situation where there's a couple of sharks and you want them to create a little shark. Yeah. The top five songs. Here's the first one. This gets sharks going. Hang on. This is at number five. No Woman, No Cry, Bob Marley. If you're near a shark right now, be careful. Careful. At number four, it's this. Timberlake.
Oh, yeah.
Rock your body. Rock your sharky body. And number three, it's the German version of the theme tune from Love Boat, Traumschiff by James Last. This, I mean, it conjures up all sorts of romantic nautical imagery.
Beautiful.
And number two, quite a sexy one, this. Joe Cocker, You Can Leave Your Hat On. Can leave
your hat on.
Have they voted for this?
Sharks go crazy for this. They're all over this shizzle. But the number one song that you can play to a couple of sharks to guarantee shark-based copulation is this. Push It, Salt and Pepper. That's right. This is the bit they love the most, this bit. They love it.
Wow.
Baby, baby shark, of course.
XFM.
London, right? I was walking through London yesterday.
Tell us about it.
I will. Established in... No, I won't. I walked through London. I was saying earlier, I bumped into an old friend, a friend I hadn't seen in a few years. And I said, hey, how's it going? What you been up to? And he said, I've spent the last 2 years writing the opening ceremony of the London Olympics.
Oof.
And that's a big conversation starter, isn't it? It's a huge thing. I didn't know what to ask him. I didn't know, you know, what am I supposed to say to
Everything
that?
Else seems trivial compared
Everything
to
else it. Seems hugely trivial compared to that. So he's been working closely with the film director, Danny Boyle, who is directing, if you will, this opening ceremony. And it was only after I was sort of leaving, I was thinking, there's plenty of ideas I could have given this guy, you know.
Mm.
Plenty of added value that we could have had. But I didn't. I didn't add anything to the conversation. I added nothing culturally to London's heritage, and that frustrates me. I've got his number. I can phone him anytime.
Yeah.
And I think we should put this to the people. How should we open the Olympics properly? I've got access, direct access, to the man writing it. What would you do, Matt?
I've got an image in my mind of...
Describe it.
Well, there are about three...
It's not enough just to have an image in your mind.
Three, I know.
Very much an audio...
Very much an audio medium. I was about to go on. Three huge pigeons.
Okay, I love it already.
Sailing into the venue, the Olympic Stadium.
So three pigeons sailing.
What's the boat, I hear you cry?
What is the boat?
The boat is a giant fried chicken carton. Smeared in grease.
Love it.
Just a few old chips left inside.
A nod to the last Olympics held in Greece, of course.
Exactly. That's yes.
Very much handing over the baton.
Yeah, and something which to me signifies London. Sailing over a giant puddle.
Three giant pigeons in a chicken box sailing over a puddle. I love it. I'll put that to Frank.
Good, please do.
What you got, Dave? Anything?
This one's quite lengthy, so I'm thinking we could actually scrap the Olympics and just do this instead.
Just do this for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
All right.
This is also a London signifier. What about a giant game of Monopoly?
Lovely.
With each country being able to play, using the track as the Monopoly board, maybe use the hurdles as the hotels.
I see.
Javelins.
Very complicated.
Yeah, but no, it'd be all right.
Someone would start cheating, though, wouldn't they?
And people get bored halfway through.
People get bored, they wander off. They go, why did we start this three-week game of Monopoly? Mine starts in Trafalgar Square. There are 107 days to go until the Olympics. So 107 Londoners of 107 different heights are involved. Each day, a Londoner is shot from a slowly rotating cannon in a different direction. Now, I know what you're thinking, Matt. The taller ones will go a shorter distance because their mass is shared over a greater area.
Exactly.
And you'd be right. Yeah. As we move towards the Olympics, the Londoners will become shorter and denser, Dave, meaning the distance travelled will increase, with the final Londoner being shot perfectly vertically and with such force that for a moment, the whole world will doubt gravity. And while everyone's staring up at the sky, we quickly replace Prince Philip with a perfect replica. Everyone looks back down, we think Philip's where he was, but the real Philip is standing on the top of a black cab, just waving.
Wow.
How did he get there, the world will say.
What an image.
The magic of sport.
We are the greatest goddamn radio station on the planet. XFM.
I wonder what else we've learned today. Tell you what I've learned. The following, Matt.
Well, this morning, for the first time in my life, I failed to even come up with one single offering in a radio pun text-off.
Yeah.
Not one single pun. Normally, at least one that I can pass off as being deliberately bad I'd come bring to the table.
You're very good at instant puns.
But absolutely nothing today. I'm going to go home and have a long, hard look at myself and try and sort this out for tomorrow.
It'll be fine, Matt, don't you worry. Today we went animal crackers on the show, discussing the merits of pork-based reality TV shows and asking for your pig puns. As Matt said, the best he could come up with was a single word, just pancetta. Doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Flamingos and their penchant for Barry White, and the top five tracks to play unromantic sharks in order to get them into the mood for enforced procreation. Talking of which, we're still continuing our enforced breeding program with our pop-out a confirmed listener scheme.
Yes.
I'd like to welcome newest confirmed listener, Ava, to the show. Welcome along.
We are...
So there you go. That was podcast number 37 from the XFM Breakfast Show with me, Danny Wallace, and this guy, Matt Dyson.
Yes.
Matt, make us smile about all the bad things in the world.
Well, you know, thank you for downloading the podcast. And remember that pizzas now have hot dogs in the crust. And that can only be a good thing.
It's a magical image. Thanks, Matt. Thanks, everybody. New podcast next week, or you can listen live from 6:30 every day on 104.9 FM, on DAB, or online at xfm.co.uk. Bye-bye.
Yes, we are XFM. Danny Wallace.